Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I am delighted to have you with me on this, the real Independence Day. For those of you who celebrate, today is actually Independence Day. I know you're waiting two more days to put on your American flag, boxer briefs, fire up fireworks in your house, and drink preferably not Bud Light. You're waiting two more days. You're going to not watch what's-his-name beat the Joey Chestnut beat the world record for eating hot dogs because he's decided to partner with a vegan fake hot dog company and is disqualified. But you are going to watch mind-numbed entertainment on the 4th of July, and you're going to pop a lot of fireworks if you're a decent American. Why? Because John Adams, one of the men who formed the Committee of Three to write the Declaration of Independence, wrote to his wife about July 2nd. Now, what happened is they all got together actually on July 4th and got everything signed together. But he wrote, "It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore. You will think me transported with enthusiasm, but I am not." This was John Adams about the 4th of July. So you should fire off guns and ring bells, have bonfires and illuminations. And illuminations was the word they used in the late 18th century for fireworks. It's what they called them. Illuminations or fireworks. Which leads me to the communists of the New York Times. Yesterday, publishing a guest essay by none other than Margaret Wrinkle. I don't actually know how you say her last name, but it looks like Wrinkle to me. And given her, it probably is because she is. And the headline, "Enough with the fireworks already." Seriously. Now, all you have to know about Margaret Wrinkle is that she is from Alabama, and she writes, she lives in Nashville, and she writes in the New York Times, and she's one of those people from the South, ashamed to be from the South, who writes reassuringly to the North that, you know, you're right, we are a bunch of hateful bigots down here. This is Margaret Wrinkle. You know, there is a cottage industry. This is the thing, John Meacham, what the bitter Southerner people, Margaret Wrinkle. There is a cottage industry of Southerners who write to the North to say, you're right, we are a bunch of racist, hateful bigots. We haven't evolved, and we will highlight all of the good people of the South who will be all the intersectional woke crowd that you love and let you know that we're here. It's an entire cottage industry. These people make a fortune writing for non-Southerners to tell them how awful we are in the South and how all of your prejudices are real. It really is just a bizarre thing, and she is one of the people who does this repeatedly in the New York Times. She makes money off the New York Times telling them that the culture of the American South is as bigoted as you think it is. And of course, she's one of the people who's upset about her dog. For 15 straight years, our old dog Clark, a hound shepherd retriever mix who was born in the woods and loved the outdoors ever after, spent the 4th of July in our walk-in shower. He seemed to believe in a windowless shower and a windowless bathroom offered his best chance of surviving the shrieking terror that was raining down from the night sky outside. Did he think the fireworks, with their window-rattling booms, were the work of some cosmic predator big enough to eat him whole? Did he think they were gunshots or clasps of thunder spreading out from inexplicable lightning bolts tearing open the sky above our house? There's no way to know what he was thinking, but every single year that rangy 75-pound country-born yard dog spent the 4th of July in our shower trembling, drooling, and whimpering in terror. Clark was lucky. We had friends whose terrified dog spent one 4th of July fruitlessly trying to outrun the explosions. The next day, a good Samaritan found him lying on a hot sidewalk miles away, close to death. Other friends came home from watching the fireworks to discover their dog had bolted in terror from their fenced backyard and been killed by a car. And those were all companion animals, the ones whose terror is clear to us. We have no real way of knowing how many wild animals suffer because the patterns of their lives are disrupted with no warning every year on a night in early July. People shooting bottle rockets in the backyard might not see the sleeping songbirds startled from their safe roost exploding into a darkness they did not evolve to navigate, crashing into buildings or depleting crucial energy reserves. People firing Roman candles into the sky above the ocean may have no idea that the explosions can cause seabirds to abandon their nests or frighten nesting shorebirds to death. Then there's the wildlife driven into the roads. Deer and foxes, possums and skunks, coyotes and raccoons. Any nocturnal creature in a blind panic can find itself staring into oncoming headlights, unsure whether the greater danger lies in the road or the sky or in the neighborhood yard surrounding them. And all that's on top of the dangers posed by firework debris, which can be toxic if ingested, or the risk of setting off a wildfire in parched summertime vegetation. Little wonder then that fireworks are banned in all national wildlife refuges, national parks, and national forests. Animals aren't the only ones to suffer. We live in a country completely saturated with guns, and far too many of them are fired at strangers. These days, many human beings have a similar panicked reaction to the sound of fireworks, mistaking it for gunfire. It's a reasonable mistake when a man started shooting at a 4th of July parade 2 years ago in Highland Park, Illinois. Spectators at first thought they were hearing fireworks. Such shootings are so common now that the whole country is arguably suffering PTSD. It would be so easy to find a new way to celebrate the founding of the nation. So easy, at the very least, to limit fireworks to public celebrations meant to bring communities together. When those communities use low-noise fireworks as well, they limit the stress on people and animals. Such measures wouldn't address the pollution caused by fireworks, though. On average, 4th of July displays account for the 42% more pollutants found in the air on July 4th and 5th. Than on a typical day. Addressing climate change and biodiversity loss on a planet with 8 billion human beings won't be simple. How to grow affordable food without using petrochemical fertilizers and pesticides that poison pollinators is a challenge. How to build enough housing for human beings without also disrupting natural ecosystems is a challenge. Such things are doable, though they won't be easy, but there are easy things we can do at no real cost to ourselves. We can eat more vegetables and less animal protein. We can cultivate native plants. We can seek out products that aren't packaged in plastic. Spend less time in cars and airplanes. Raise the thermostat in the summer and lower it in the winter in that context. Surely, surely we can give up fireworks. Of all the little pleasures that give life meaning and joy, surely fireworks don't come close to the top of the list, and it costs us nothing to give them up. The conflation of selfishness with patriotism is the thing I have the hardest time accepting about our political era. Maybe we have the right to eat a hamburger or drive the biggest truck on the market or fire off bottle rockets deep in the night on the 4th of July, but it doesn't make us good Americans to do such things. How can it possibly be American to look at the damage that fireworks can cause to the atmosphere, to the forest, to the wildlife, to our own beloved pets, and to ourselves, and shrugged. Y'all, this woman is a joy to be around, is she not? I mean, this woman, she puts the joy in joylessness. I mean, my goodness gracious, give up your hamburgers. Give up your cars. Give up celebrating the 4th of July because you're selfish if you support the 4th of July. This is the epitome of the New York Times in one column. You must give up your life, your happiness, and your celebrations of our founding to save your dog. Y'all, I like my dog a lot. And my dog will be panicked and barking on the 4th of July. And you know what? In honor of this article, I went out last night and I bought $600 worth of fireworks. I bought the biggest mortars they had, the 5-inchers. In Georgia, you can get up to 5 inches legally. That's what she said. 5 inches you can get. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get myself in trouble now. Nonetheless, I got the biggest mortar. I got a box. That box is called High Yield Concussion. That's what it's called, high-yield concussion with 50 rounds in it. I got it, and I'm going to dedicate it to Margaret Wrinkle. I'm going to fire that sucker off at like 10 or 11 after the neighbor's small children go to bed, no less. I'm going to fire it off and wake them up because they should be outside celebrating the 4th of July, and we're going to eat hamburgers to celebrate Margaret Wrinkle. We're going to put the joy where she finds joylessness. This true of a apologetic, I'm so sorry I live in the South person. I'm going to celebrate my 4th of July the way John Adams wanted, with guns and fireworks and bells and flags and parades. I'm going to celebrate it. Why? Because unlike this woman who finds misery in the luxuries of life, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and where I know my president can send SEAL Team 6 and assassinate his political opponents. Is it not just the greatest country ever? Oh my gosh, these people are in a meltdown. She wants us to give up fireworks, something that the founders of this country believe were good. Of course, she writes for an institution that believes this country was founded to protect slavery. Maybe she should give up wordsmithing for the New York Times and all the energy it requires to read her nonsense in the pages of the New York Times. Every year, you know, every year there's someone who just wants to get attention for being the most miserable person. Every year we have this. It's like the people at Christmas who come out and say, "You're celebrating the rape of Mary. Don't you know Christmas is a rapey holiday?" They literally do this every year. There's some malcontented miscreant who has to do that. And now this year in the pages of the New York Times, we got to have every crazy person with a platform come out to let you know that fireworks are bad. They hurt my dog's ears and they pollute us and they're killing us. She's got to be a joy for her grandkids. She's got adult sons. I'm assuming they might have grandkids or boy, what a delightful grandmother she's going to be. Grandmother, we're going to go fire up. We're going to go light sparklers and celebrate. No, you're not firing up those sparklers. I want you to have the impossible hot dog instead. Grandmother, this doesn't taste good. I don't care. It's good for the environment. Who cares about you? You shouldn't be here anyway, you carbon mouth-breathing polluter. Yep, she's going to be a real joy to bring the grandkids home to. My goodness, this is what the New York Times wished to offer for the week of the 4th of July. A bitter old Southern woman saying, "I wish you wouldn't pop fireworks. They're bad. I don't like them. I don't really like the country, but I can't say that. So I'll just say, give up your joy and happiness, and that will make me happy." No, lady, I'm popping a whole lot of fireworks, and I'm dedicating them all to you.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I want to go to Bart's phone call because this is super relevant to everything going on out there. Welcome, Bart. How are you?
Yeah, hey, great on July 2nd there. I love that one.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, remember this afternoon the word mulligan, okay?
So. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Actually, this afternoon I'm going to say, look, bear! And while they're distracted, I'll just drop the ball
Squirrel,
somewhere good.
Yeah, hey, Ohio, has anybody run through that scenario if Biden gets off the ballot? That could create a whole bunch of anxiety for Sherrod Brown up there.
Yeah, look, so part of it is they're rationalizing the Democrats. For those of you who don't know, the presidential selection for the November ballot in Ohio must be done by August 7th. And the president's convention is not until August 19th, which makes it impossible. What they could do is just say, well, Trump's going to win Ohio anyway, so never mind, except that's not what they're going to do because Sherrod Brown, they need him, and they're afraid that'll depress the vote. So what they're actually going to do, and people haven't figured this out, is that they're going to do an early nomination for Joe Biden. They're going to give him the nomination via a Zoom call of delegates before August 7th, and they're going to speed it up in the next couple of weeks to make it happen so they can do that. So what we're going to see for the Democratic convention is actually just going to be a formality. There's not the vote that you see is going to be a fake vote. They'll have already voted and done it. Now, they announced this. You should know this is no conspiracy that they're speeding up, unlike what Bloomberg reported yesterday. They actually announced this a month ago, that this is what they were going to do to make sure that Biden can get the nomination. They got the Ohio legislature was asked to move the date. They should have done it, by the way. I do think, but they chose not to. And the Democrats said, oh, this is an attack on democracy. No, actually, you knew the law going into this. I don't think they should have made it that early because they've never had it that early before, and it screws up the presidential conventions, which usually come in August and September. The reason they're happening so early is because of laws like this. But, I mean, they did what they did. It's no big deal. And so the Democrats will advance the nomination earlier, which messes up trying to push Joe Biden out of the race early as well. Now, to celebrate Independence Day and Independence Week, Hillsdale College wants to give you a free copy of the Declaration of Independence and let you watch a video celebrating the genius of Thomas Jefferson as he formed the Declaration of Independence. All you do is go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Jefferson actually was ahead of his time in articulating the vision in the Declaration of Independence that our rights come from God, not a king, that all men are created equal. He even wanted to call for the end of slavery in the Declaration of Independence, but to get Southern votes to go along with it, had to walk it back. It's brilliant. A lot of this is in the history books, and Hillsdale College wants to remind you of that history and give you a free copy of the Declaration of Independence. All of it is available at ericforhillsdale.com. ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K. Go to ericforhillsdale.com today. Start a relationship with Hillsdale College. Get your free copy of the Declaration of Independence for yourself or someone you love. And watch the video on Thomas Jefferson and the founding of our great republic. Perfectly timed for Independence Day and Independence Week. Courtesy of Hillsdale College at Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. And there's some breaking news you need to know about. A confidential polling memo circulated among anxious Democrats is confirming their worst fears. This is from Peter Hamby, who's pretty plugged into politics.
President Biden's support has started to tumble in key election battlegrounds in the wake of his disastrous debate performance in Atlanta. And Biden's diminished standing is now putting previously non-competitive states like New Hampshire, Virginia, and New Mexico in play for Donald Trump. What's more, Biden has taken such a reputational hit that he is polling behind other alternatives, including Kamala Harris and Gretchen Whitmer, in a one-on-one matchup against Trump. The memo was put together after the debate by Open Labs, a progressive nonprofit that conducts polling and message testing for a constellation of Democratic groups, including the 501c4 nonprofit associated with Future Forward, the preferred super PAC for Biden's reelection campaign. So, how is this looking? Let me give you the data. Pre-debate margin in Colorado, Biden up 3. Post-debate, Biden up 1.9, a decline of 1.8%. Minnesota up from 2.4 to 0.4, a 2% decline. Maine from 2.2 to 0.2, down 2 points. New Mexico from 1.9 to negative 0.5, meaning he's lost 2.4%, and Donald Trump is now in the lead. Virginia, 1.5%. to negative 0.6%, meaning a 2.1% decline. 2.3% decline in New Hampshire, putting Donald Trump in the lead. A 1.9% decline in Wisconsin, putting Donald Trump in the lead. A 1.7% decline in Nebraska, too, putting Donald Trump in the lead. A 1.8% decline in Michigan, putting Donald Trump significantly in the lead. Pennsylvania is he's now down 7.3 points. Nevada down 8.8 points. Arizona down 9.7 points. Georgia down 10.1 points. North Carolina down 10.6 points. That is brutal, brutal, brutal. From the article, Open Labs is something of a black box. Their website's mostly blank. They don't seek publicity. Their client list is private, but their data-driven memos are trusted in Democratic circles and typically passed around to a small group of clients and strategists. One of those Democrats forwarded it to me, Peter Hamby. That's him writing. So, in other words, for perspective right now, Donald Trump is now in the polling by Open Labs, the progressive group. In the polling, Donald Trump is now ahead in New Mexico, Virginia, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Nebraska, too. Nebraska is a state that splits its electoral college votes between congressional districts. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina. If their polling were to be correct, and the election were to be held today, Donald Trump would get 319 Electoral College votes and would pick up the Senate and gain seats in the House of Representatives. That's how bad it is. There's breaking news as well from NBC News that Hunter Biden has now started taking White House meetings with his father as Hunter Biden insists Joe Biden not leave the race. Hunter Biden has joined meetings with President Joe Biden and his top aides since his father returned to the White House from Camp David on Monday evening, according to four people familiar with the matter. The president's son has also been talking to senior White House staff. While he is regularly at the White House residence and events, it is unusual for Hunter Biden to be in and around meetings that his father is having with his team. They said the president's aides were struck by his presence during their discussions. One of the people familiar with the matter said Hunter Biden has been closely advising his father since the family gathered this past weekend at Camp David after Thursday's debate. The person said Hunter Biden has popped into a couple of meetings and phone calls the president's had with some advisors. Another person familiar with the matter said the reaction from some senior White House staff has been, "What the hell is happening?" Hunter Biden's presence in and around his father's meetings comes amid questions about whether Joe Biden should continue his reelection campaign. NBC News has reported Hunter Biden is among the president's immediate family members, urging him to stay in the race. He's at the White House this week to celebrate the 4th of July. Of course Hunter Biden wants his dad to stay in the race. He needs his gravy train and pardon. Of course. Of course. I, friends, am deeply reassured the nation is being run by Jill Biden and a crackhead. You Democrats don't think a convicted felon should be in the White House. Guess what? A convicted felon's in the White House. Oh, my goodness. All right. To the phones we go. 877-973-7425. Sylvia, you're up next. Welcome.
Hi, Eric. Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are.
Thank you so much, dear. I enjoyed your program every day. I've
Thank
never
you.
Spoken on the radio, and I'm really terrified.
Oh, don't be terrified. You're just talking to me.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. I'm an 80-year-old retired nurse, a cancer survivor for over 3 years now. And
well, congratulations on being qualified to be president of the United States. Have you thought about running?
Oh, heavens, no. But the reason I'm calling is that during COVID, when Joe Biden was kept in the basement for such a long period of time, and then he did win the presidency, being a nurse, and I'm so disappointed in the American medical, I don't even know what to say. It was apparent to me that there was something cognitively wrong with Joe Biden. I guess it's just from years and years of having to assess patients, because you have to know where they are cognitively concerning their care and ability to take their medicine and such things as that. But he was elected. I said this to several people. They just thought I was nuts. But I cannot believe that all this period of time that people haven't brought up the fact that Joe Biden has had brain surgeries. He had a brain aneurysm many years ago. It was life-threatening. It did rupture. He had brain surgery. Then he had another aneurysm that did not rupture. I don't know if they clipped it or what they did. But there's a saying that I didn't hear until recently from neurosurgeons. And, of course, it's just anecdotal. But it says, once the air hits the brain, you're never the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take it for what it's worth. That's just anecdotal. But there may be some scar tissue there. I think before anyone should be running for the presidency of the greatest nation on the face of the earth, there should be some cognitive testing done. We, as Americans, we deserve to know what kind of medication
right.
those people are taking. Are they taking something, mm-hmm. you know, for dementia or severe depression? There are many medications that could affect how they respond to any situation. And now that it's apparent that Joe Biden does have some severe mental issues, I look back on it, and the family had to have known this. They had to have known this. All the people around him had to have known. But the goal was to beat Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that successfully. But it's gotten so much worse, and it's really frightening. There are 360 souls in our wonderful country. He has the safety of all of these souls in his hands for his decision-making. When the poor man needs help to take care of himself. But that's my only comment. I'm disappointed that some very smart doctors that haven't come forward to express their concerns.
So, Sylvia, I got to ask you a personal question.
Yes.
Are there farm animals behind you?
No.
There sounds like there's something in the background that sounds like a cow moving or a sheep brain or something. I couldn't figure it out.
If you have to know, I'm mopping my floor.
Oh!
And it's a little swifter and it makes a little sound, so I'll stop doing that.
No, I'm like, so Kobe and I were in here. I'm in studio today with my co-host. We were looking at each other. It's like, I think she's out on a farm somewhere.
No, I just finished shucking a lot of corn that I'm going to cook. And I
oh, my gosh,
my
I'm coming
kitchen,
to your house.
I just had to make that comment. I'm very, very disappointed. I know the family encouraged him, and they wanted this for the family. And I think there was a lot of financial gain there.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that I feel like our medical community, especially people concerning different types of dementia, I think they've really let us down and put us in quite a dangerous dangerous situation.
You're absolutely right. Now, listen, I'll let you go back. See, this wasn't tough. Now you've had your debut live on air while mopping the floor, no less. I thought it was farm animal. I was like, no, it was the Swiffer. Oh my gosh, that makes my day. And shucking corn, y'all. So this time of year, my wife's family goes to Illinois. My mother-in-law's from Southern Illinois, El Dorado, and they go up there, and they're farmers up there, and they have a catfish pond. And for the 4th of July every year, they get fresh catfish. They go out into the field, they pull the corn off, they shuck it, and it's like the freshest meal you'll ever have. And they're headed up there for that this year. The corn on the 4th of July is one of life's, if fresh out of the field corn, one of life's great pleasures. If you've never had it, I'm sorry, but it is not store-bought corn. It is like fresh out of the field corn on the 4th of July is one of the greatest things. All right, Philip, you're up next. This better not be the Philip who works for me shirking his responsibility to call in.
Well, okay.
Nope, definitely
I'm not.
Not.
Well, my question, Eric, is the Supreme Court maybe allow, well, after it goes down to the lower courts, not to be prosecuted for things done on office under his authority. But what is the impeachment for then?
Okay, so great question. The President of the United States can be prosecuted after he leaves office for things that he did that were criminal while in office and of a personal nature. They weren't related to his duties as president. Impeachment is for you can, while in office, remove the president for having broken the law and speed up the prosecution of him afterwards. If the president has broken the law, it's not just a policy dispute. Congress can impeach him at any time. But frankly, if the president has not broken the law, but so vehemently Congress can't stand what he's doing and the votes are there, Congress can throw him out of office. If the mood of the country shifts after 2 years and the country is diametrically opposed to a president staying in office, the Congress can impeach the president and throw him from office, whether or not he committed crimes or not. The Constitution says high crimes and misdemeanors, but the fact of the matter is impeachment is a political calculus. And let's just say there's a blowout election, and the president now suddenly is looking at two-thirds of the Senate is against him. Majority of the House is vehemently against him. There's had an election. His team has been slaughtered in the polls. Well, you can throw the president out of office. Or if the president did commit a crime, he can be prosecuted once he leaves office, according to the Supreme Court decision yesterday. If he committed a crime, he can be prosecuted. But he can't be prosecuted until he leaves office. So an impeachment can be to force him out of office to get him prosecuted immediately, as opposed to waiting until his tenure in office is up. So it's still valid and works. All right, Scott, you're going to be the last caller today. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Hey, I got one for you. If everybody that gets polled that's a Republican says, hey, I'm going to vote for Biden, and then Biden stays in office because his polling is way up, and then everybody votes for Trump, well, guess what? We win.
Yes. The problem is herding the cats of the right to get everyone to do that. It's a great idea, but I don't think it can be done successfully to get everybody to do it. Yeah, there is that. Now, I got to tell you about Vision Computers, y'all, because Vision can build you a computer that saves you time and headache. Y'all, okay, seriously, look, I know they're an advertiser, but let me explain to you why I actually love them, because I actually am a customer. They built my son a gaming PC. My son wanted a gaming PC. He was desperate for one. It is so over my head now. What's the best GPU? What do I need? How many monitors? All that. I went to Vision. We had the conversation with him. Here are the games he wants to play. Here's what his friends are starting to play. So they built him a computer. He's fully compatible with everything he started playing well after we got the computer. It stayed up to date. It's great. He's had problems with it, and it's not Vision's fault. He just like got rambunctious and loosened a cable and didn't realize it. But he called the number, and Vision, 15 seconds less, they're like, here, let's check the cables first, make sure the power's on, and boom, they got it fixed. I've never had to be IT support for my kid. Vision takes care of it. They can do that for you as well. Call them at 404-COMPUTE. 404-COMPUTE. let Vision build you the computer. But let's say you've got a computer, you're not in the market for a new computer, but you need help. You need tech help. You don't know what to do. Vision can do that for you. They can do it for your office as well. If you're a small businessman, you can't afford an in-house IT guy, Vision can be that guy for you. So your employees get a special phone number. They call 15 seconds or less. They get the answer faster than Google search, email support, printer support, you name it, all for $179 a year, not a month, a year. Yeah, unbelievable deal per computer. All you got to do, call Vision Computers, 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you. You're going to get an even better deal. You're going to save more money. 404-COMPUTE. And by the way, listen, I realize it's 404 number. That's Atlanta, Georgia, but it doesn't matter. If you're listening to me right now on KSD in Sacramento, California, Vision does nationwide tech support. So your small business in California, already in the toll because of Gavin Newsom's policies, you can save money and not have the in-house IT guy. You can use Vision Computers in Georgia, too. Any of you nationwide can use Vision, 404-COMPUTE. Call them and tell them I sent you. You save even more money, or go check them out at visioncomputers.com.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on. Is that right? Yeah, cooking. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Greetings, conversationalists. I said we were done with callers, but I feel like I got to take Tammy's phone call because she disagrees with me on something, and I'm not opposed to those who disagree with me. So, Tammy, you're going to be the last caller today. Let me have it.
What? Okay. No, I just wanted to know if you have anybody that has TD or no, PTSD.
Yes.
You do. Okay. And the bombs are going off, just like you said that you're going to do purposely. Those, what about the, that's not what the founding fathers wanted us to do.
But that's what John Adams said to do.
Why not sparklers? No. Sparklers, silent fireworks. That's fine, but if everybody's putting these big bomb fireworks off, it's terrible.
Oh, and see, I disagree with. Look, I understand that dogs, people with PTSD, they're
terrible. It's terrible.
But since the founding of the country, it wasn't just sparklers. Actually, the illuminations that went up into the air and exploded, they've been around since before 1776, and it's been an American tradition. So, yeah, I gotta disagree with you. I do understand there are people with PTSD, and there are dogs that don't like it. But for 200 plus years, we have as a nation shot fireworks and celebrated for New Year's, for the 4th of July. And I understand it, but I mean, what else must I give up because it might impact other people? This isn't a matter of selfishness. This is a matter of we must change our way of life to accommodate every other person's needs. I disagree with that. I don't think that's conservative. There is a principle of love your neighbor, and I get that. And I think we have to be compassionate to those who suffer. But also, it's the celebration of our Independence Day. We've shot fireworks into the air for 200-plus years to celebrate. I don't think we should give that up because of the exception made of the few. For the many to give up their celebration and joy for the few, I don't think that's right. That's an antithesis of this country where it's majority rule and democracy, and I'm going to blow up my fireworks, and I'm going to have a fantastic celebration.